use what precious time we've got to God's glory. You know, we can go through the facts about time. We know there's, you know, 24 hours in a day, and there's 1,440 seconds in minutes, and 86,000 seconds, but whatever it is, it's a precious gift. Every second is precious. And I'm starting to get a bit older, and I'm realizing how precious it is, and I'm looking back thinking, wow, what have I done with this time? What all that time's been all about? Because we can't store it, we can't save it, and what's gone's gone. But God talks about in his word redeeming the time. And redeem comes from that word again, from the slave market, where you can buy back time. Redeem the time. We can actually buy it back on God's, in God's way anyway. We can actually get into his plan and purpose on a daily basis. And that's something I'm trying to get into. And it's not always big things, it's just little things. It's when you're knocked or when you've had a bit of a fallout, you just deal with it straight away. Amen. You don't even let it go past 5 minutes. You just deal with it. I'm sorry. And I'm learning to say sorry without trying to justify why I did something. What's the point of that? No. Just get it. Just deal with it. Get it out the way. But you know, I know today's D-Day, 80 years. We're celebrating 80 years. And we've seen something of the things on TV, and I've not actually watched it. But you know, I believe it's D-Day for the church. I believe that D-Day for the church has arrived.
Amen.
I actually think that if we don't get on board in this plan, that we might miss the boat. And time is an amazing thing. And in the Bible, there's actually three words that's used for time. There's chronos, which is chronological time, minute by minute. And then there's kairos, which I'll come on to in a minute. And there's eschatos, which means the study of the end times, the late times, the last day. But there's 84 places in the New Testament where it talks about time. It uses the word kairos. And kairos is a strange word. And as I was looking it up, I thought, wow, that's fairly interesting. Because kairos is a definite period. A definite period within which something can be accomplished. It's kind of an opportunity that arises. And I didn't know this. It came from, in some Bibles, when we read Latin Bibles, it comes from the word, from a Latin word, meaning ob portu. I'm probably pronouncing that because I've never studied Latin. Which is where we get the word opportunity from. And as I was looking at this, it's from a word in ancient times before there were modern harbours. You know, today we've got massive ports, haven't we? We've constructed these massive things where even cruise ships can come in and dock. But in the ancient times, there were a few ports like that. But most of the ports, the sailing ships had to wait for the turning of the tides. They waited for the turning of the tides. And a skillful captain knew that if he missed that passing tide, then that ship would have to wait again. It's quite some time until a favourable tide came again. I believe this is what God, this is for me anyway in my life, that we're entering a favourable tide.
Amen.
And I believe that, and I'm hoping that I'm not mistaken, that this church is heading and it's got to ride this tide. It's got to ride this tide. And I know why it's got to ride the tide, because I've missed it before in my life many times. I've missed it through my own foolishness, through my own sin, through me going my own way. I've also seen a church miss it, where the church was, it was growing in numbers. We'd had a great carol service. We'd packed the place. We'd put chairs out and people filled it. And then one or two started backing off. They got ill, and it put stress on the leadership at that particular time, and they backed off. And do you know what? I think if we could have just ridden that tide, that church would have taken off, but obviously we didn't. We missed it. And it went then from then on, we just missed the opportunity. A building came up and we missed the building because a young girl with probably more drive and more faith turned it into a dance studio. And because another reason they missed it, because they didn't put your hands in the pockets. Yeah. There's many reasons for missing an opportunity. Sin, disobedience, fear, lack of faith, all these things, all of the way. So my main thrust of this tonight is saying that it's Kairos. It's a time of opportunity that we need to take on board in our own lives as well. I believe that we're given second chances and third chances. If we didn't, we won't be around. None of us would be standing. If God counted us sin, who could stand? Nobody could stand. Even the best of us, and I'm not counting because I'm the worst of us, but even the best of us, and pointing towards pastors and people who have been faithful all these years, who could stand if all our sins were held against us? So praise to God. Because at the end of the day, he's building his church. He's building his church. And the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. You know, I'm not one for Shakespeare, but he wrote this. He said, "There is a tide in the affairs of man, an ob portu, which, taken at the flood, leads onto fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallowness and miseries." In other words, they missed the boat. It's like they missed the boat. Church out there, if I believe, is missing the boat because it wants to be culturally relevant to this age. And it's going to miss the boat. When God pours out his blessing, because at the moment, I believe it's a bit like Haggai, he looks upon his church and he sees it in disarray. He sees people living in the panelled houses and all, and actually his house is in actual turmoil. We think, you know, it's all in bits. He's building a body that is the head of, but he can't be the head of it because they're not listening to what that head's saying. They're disobeying what that head's saying. Yeah. So that's not the building where God's going to dwell. But he is not going to be without a people that show forth his praise and glory. And I believe that, you know, we want to be a church among many thousands, hopefully, that will catch the vision. Ride that tide or opportunity that God's pouring out, because I think time's short.
Yeah.
Time's short. I'm just going to, if we read Ephesians, let's read Ephesians 5:6, where this text comes from, redeeming the time. Just turn to it, please. It's chapter 5 in Ephesians. I might have got the wrong one here. Just wait a second. Yeah, I've got it. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed, are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil."
Amen.
The days are evil. You know the days are evil out there. We know the days are evil. We know it's going down the pan fast. And we've got to walk as children of the light in that environment to be sons and daughters that God can use to be that light in the world. Out there, there's people's lives are just totally blinded. Blinded by the enemy, we know that. We know that that's what he comes to do, to rob and to steal. Mm-hmm. But his other job is to keep people in darkness, in deception, in blindness.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing. I'd like us just to turn now, it might seem, why am I turning to this? But I'm going to turn now to John 9 verse 4. Let's have a look at what Jesus did and said. John chapter 9 verse 4. Well, I'll just quickly run through this story. We know that as Jesus was passing, he saw a blind man from birth. And the disciples were saying, well, in those days, if you were a sinner, they believe that certain illnesses came if you've been sinning. And we know that you can get certain diseases from being a sinner. So they were asking Jesus, who sinned? His parents? Or why is he like this? Why is this man blind? But Jesus didn't go into that. He told them straight. He said, neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Then he said something that I want us to latch on to. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day.
Yeah.
The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. In some Bibles, in some Orthodox Bibles, other than the King James, it says, we must work. We must work the works of him who sent me. So, we know the story. He carried on. He pushed mud into the person's eyes. And this man, who had no eyes, I believe it were a creative miracle, that where he like picking up the soil like Adam were made from the dust of the earth, and he pushed that earth into his eyes and spoke his word. And that soil, that clay, actually became eyeballs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that man could see. And later on, all the Pharisees could do was say, oh, you've been a sinner from birth. Because this man was saying, I don't know where he's from, but all I know was blind, but now I can see.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that Jesus actually found him out later, didn't he?
Yeah.
He actually went and found this man. And we hear another great act that he did here. Not only did he give the man physical eyes so he could see, but we say he even gave him spiritual life. He was born again, because we read in verse 34, Jesus heard that when they had cast him out, when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. He recognized who Jesus was. When the JWs come and start talking about Jesus being an angel or not God in flesh, just show them where it says he worshipped him, because, you know, you're only supposed to worship God, aren't you? And Jesus didn't say, don't do it.
No, he didn't.
He didn't say, don't do it. So here we've got what Jesus was doing. He healed. And then he healed him spiritually. You know, we've got a great commission that we've been given the works to do. And if we read on, what are our works? What should man do? Well, it says this. By the way, when it says, listen to what it said. I must work. That's Jesus saying. That implies some kind of, you know, compelling. It's a compulsion to actually, an enthusiasm, a passion. I must work. I must work. And he's telling us, we must work.
Amen.
We must work. And what is our work? Well, we've got, one of the works is, when they asked him, what is the work that we must do for God? Believe on him.
Amen.
Believe on Jesus. And if we believe on Jesus, greater works will we do.
Amen.
So there's the day-to-day being, as in being right, a child of the light, being sanctified and made holy, and that's part of God's ongoing work within every believer. Once we accept Christ as our Saviour, and we're born again, his job is to keep us, and if we'll be faithful and actually be willing. He's the one who's sanctifying us, making us holy, and perfecting that which concerns you and me. And that's his ongoing work. That's what he wants to do. That's what the Holy Spirit is longing to do, bring sanctification, holiness, faith, and joy in that. And then there's the other side of the coin where he says, I've given you all authority. Go out in my name and heal the sick. Let's look at some of these authority that the believers, that Jesus has actually given us, some of the scriptures for that. Jesus did not leave us powerless or a powerless church, although it might seem powerless so often in the world out there of church. He says, on the contrary, he's left us with the Holy Spirit and he's imparted divine authority to us to accomplish great things for him. If we can get our heads around that a minute, let's just hang on a minute. Because he said in Matthew 26, verses 18 to 20, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So that authority he's got is imparted to us. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you till the end of the age. So you've got to go and teach. We've got to go and teach. So he's not just wanting converts. He wants us to make disciples. When we're singing these, when we're singing, and there's only four of us or five of us, and I'm up here, I'm thinking, why am I up here? Because there's nearly as many up here as there is down here. But we've got to, in our brains, think, this place is going to be filled. This is the oasis. Because we're going to ride that tide of God's blessing. And his move in this wicked age and fill this place and disciple people. Amen. And have the authority to do it.
Yes.
And I believe that is coming. I think when I was going on, I thought, how do you tie working for God with redeeming the time? And I'm thinking, no, we've got to redeem the time so that we're in a fit position. So that each one of us has redeemed our own time lives, our own lives, brought them in line with what his plans and purposes are. So that when he moves, he can trust us with the authority. He can trust us with the wherewithal to go and make disciples and to see people reached.
Amen.
And I believe that's what he's been doing. So we might be a few in number, but you're the people who's going to do it. You are the light. You're the ones who are actually going to be in a position to see and minister to all these people, because that is your job. You've been given this authority. You've been given a commission to reach the lost, to live a life that's pure and like a bright light shining, so that when it gets thick darkness out there, you're the one who's going to bring the light. You've got to remember, like, we're working together with Jesus in that. Yeah. Let's just have a look at what happened to Paul when he got saved. Acts 26, verse 14. When Saul, after his religious phase, we've got a gremlin again in here, got saved and his eyes were opened, what was the thing he said? What was said to him? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me.
Amen.
That commission that was passed to Paul is your commission, dare I say it?
Amen.
Or am I just thinking, well, it's only for apostles?
No.
Because that's what some churches say, and that's why they get weakened, isn't it? because they saw, no, it all ended when these apostles died out. All the gifts, all the healings, all the miracles finished. All the, you know, we've got the written word now, so we don't need any more. Hey, that's something we've got to contest.
Yeah.
I have to contest it nearly every day because I'm thinking, oh, well, were it just for apostles?
No.
No. What about the 72 then? And then it says, all who believe.
Amen.
Whoever believes.
Yeah.
Whoever believes in me will do these things. So we've got to contest. Not only are we having to contest the devil with his usual, let's live a life of sin and pleasure and all the rest of it, but we're also contesting another gospel. That's why I know that some people say from here, forgive me, Steve, but you sometimes say, doctrine's not important. And I know what you mean by that, in the sense that there are certain truths that we've got to hold on to.
Yeah.
But you know, it says, all doctrine, for me, it's important that we have a right gospel. And we are having a right gospel. I'm not saying, what am I trying to say? I don't want to get myself in a fix here. What am I trying to say? I think it's a bit like, you know, the words are sharp as a two-edged sword. A really sharp instrument, divided asunder and all the rest of it. What knife are we using to cut a loaf of bread? When I cut a loaf of bread, I get the sharpest kind of a knife I can. It's really thin. It's not serrated. Because when I get fresh bread, I don't want crumbs all over. I want it to go straight through it. Like that. And I see God's truth. I believe, I'm not saying King James only or like that. But what I'm saying is, sometimes, when we're using God's word, let's use it sharp. Let's use it sharp. And not let's not use the butter knife to divide asunder the word. Let's not use a butter knife. And I sometimes think the translations are butter knives, where you get that nice thick. But you see, that's fine if you know the, you can then put a bit of nice butter on it. But people out there, they don't know the word, do they? So what word are we, you know, let's give them someone that can remember. Right? That we'll go, come off that one. That's probably just neither here nor there. But I think it's important that we are equipped with the word of God. Whatever version we use, we rightly divide it and use it rightly. We use it right, and I've seen, I mean, now they're using the word to justify things that I don't believe in.
No.
The church is trying to justify woe to them that call good evil and evil good. They're trying to justify things like that by the word, by you know, just twisting it a bit. It's interesting that when we were talking about the opportune time, when in the book of Acts, there's a place in Acts 24. If we could just turn to it for a minute, Acts 24, verses 2, I believe, is it 25? Acts 24. Here we go. It's Acts 24, verse 25. It's Paul speaking and reasoning. He's reasoning with a bloke called Felix. He's been in many council meetings and all the rest of it. But that word there of time, he says, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. It's that opportunity. But you see, here he is what is he saying here? He's saying, go away for now. I'll think about it later. You've almost convinced me to become a Christian, but come back when I've got a more convenient time. But you see, what's he going to do? He's going to miss the boat. Come back a bit later. It's like when people think, well, I've almost convinced them.
Yeah.
Oh, just come back later. Hey, you don't know whether you're going to get that, do you? So each and every one of us, including, oh, by the way, all this is just talking to myself, and if the cap fits, wear it, and let's deal with it. I don't want to be in another position where I drift away. You know, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave thy courts above. We can all get a bit like that at times. We only need a few, you know, and a few whatever, and we prone to wander, prone to, I feel it. Da, 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 da. Take it and seal me for thy from above. That's what we want. So we want everybody fit and healthy. So it's like D-Day. So I'm sure that when the D-Day alert came, they were on high alert. So I'm trying to put myself on high alert so that I have a right word for somebody at the right time. So I actually deliberately say, okay, what's the best thing I can do today? Now, that's easy when you're retired in many ways because you haven't got the pressures of work, because sometimes work just dictates what you're doing. And you can't... And I've been there, and you think you're okay when you come home, but you've got work to do. And you can't actually... We're in a luxury position in this country because we've got a pension. I know you're not all pensioners, but we've got to be the backbone for the people who are still working and the light that keeps them going through prayers. And we've got to be like David's warrior book, his war book. I like the way he calls it a war book because we're in a war, aren't we? We're in a war. Every single day we're in a war. So David's got his war book. Thank goodness for David and his war book. Amen. And I thank goodness for pastors in the past who had a war book. I thank goodness for the woman, the little old lady that took me and made me a cup of tea and a scone. And I knew she must have prayed for me when I was that high. Do you know what I mean? God, we must never underestimate that. Never, ever must we ever a kind word and just a right word at a right time in season. I've said before I messed up big style, and the only reason I'm still here in a church is because of Maurice Craven, who were a pastor. And he just, you know. What is that rough, you know, how are you doing, lad? What is that worth? Yeah, that's worth 50,000 preachers like what I'm doing now. That ruffling of air. Come on, lad. You know, come along. He didn't cast me off. Didn't say, oh, I've blown it, mate, you know. You've had it. Well, I know this, that God is turning the rough necks and the ones who've blown it and the ones who've made a mistake and all that band of deceit, but all David's mighty men were originally waifs and strays and messed up. The ones who had got this wrong and that, carrying that baggage and that baggage. We're leaving it. We're leaving it behind, though, because we're actually into a final moment. I don't think it's going to be a. It's not going to be a. It's not a nursing station now. I think we've got the nurses. We've got the you know, the people who can do that. But we're in, it's high alert. It's battle stations now, because that world's going to the pan. We're on high alert. It's battle stations. Time is short. When Paul wrote this, he thought it was quite imminent even then. He thought that it were all going to get wrapped up then. Well, we're 2,000 years on there. We can see what state the world's in. It only needs a few really worldwide scares and they'll come flooding in.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll come flooding in because they will have nowhere else to go, because what have they got? A psychologist in a school waiting for them. That's no disrespect to psychologists in schools. If you're working a psychologist in a school, that's no disrespect to them. They're doing the best under the circumstances. But that ain't going to hold society together.
No.
We're 2 meals away from a riot. If they don't get fed for 2 meals, there'll be a riot. Mm. It's simple as that. You can see it already in town. Mm. You know, that's how we are. And this country, I don't care who's going to come in, and I know that we've got great hopes for some of our politicians, and yeah, some of them do a really good job, and I pray they get saved.
Amen.
Because if they get saved, we've got even more of a chance of this light keeping burning rather than being extinguished. I think we're almost at that time where it's Ichabod, where, lo, the lamp of the light was nearly out. It's a good job there was a Samuel in it to keep it lit.
Yeah.
Well, you're the Samuels that keep it lit. You are the Samuel that's keeping the light lit, because the church at large isn't keeping that light lit. It's a false fire. It's a false thing. All the confusion that's coming in down the pipe, you look up what it talks about, the sins in Leviticus. Lo, it is confusion. When you look up the sexual sins in Leviticus, it says, lo, it is confusion. I'm thinking, lo, it is confusion. What's all that about? Mental illness. That's what you get. That's what you get. You don't stick to that book, you get that. But Christ has done away the law, because he is the law. He's fulfilled the law. And we've got a light that should be shining, because he's given us life and new birth. And he's still on our side, and he's still on our case, and he's still sorting us out. I've got a duck in this box. It's quacking away. So we've got to walk wisely. Walk circumspectly. It talks in Psalms, doesn't it? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. We've got to be the wise ones. We might not necessarily, I'm not necessarily wise in myself, but we've got to be the wise, because we've got the wisdom of God in us. We've got to make decisions to be wise and doing what's right all the time. And sometimes to do the right thing, you've got to ignore the wrong thing to do. You've got to actually say, no, I'm not into that. I'm not doing it. Walk in wisdom, we're told to do, towards those who are outside. Again, if you look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 to 6, what does it say? It says this. It says, let's put this, it's not quite on yet. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Is that what it says in your Bible? So we've got to redeem the time. And one of the ways of redeeming the time is by walking in wisdom ourselves. If we're being stupid, if we're not doing what's right, if we know we've got things in our lives that aren't right, it's time, and I'm look at my fingers. I've got to lay them down. I've got to put things down. I've got to decide, no, there's a better way. I'm going to do what Jesus did. I must work the works of him who sent me, or him who's called me. Not my works, not what I want. And that's so difficult, isn't it? Because it's, again, dying to self, if you like. It's putting something in. I think the Bible, what it says is, if we're to glory in anything, let's glory in Christ Jesus. We've got to glory in Christ Jesus. That's where he wants us at. So if I'm boasting, let's boast about Jesus. Let's boast about that we know Jesus. And if we don't know him, and if I don't know him as well as I should, let Lord help me to get to know you better, to know your love, to appreciate your love, to be able to communicate that. Because that's what we need, isn't it, as a church? So we've all got areas that we know that we're letting God down in. But you know, at the end of the day, he's there. He says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask the Lord. So if we're not particularly wise, and we say, well, what should? Well, he says, let him ask. Because you're asking for a spiritual thing, aren't you? You're asking to be wiser. You're asking to be more equipped, you're asking to be more knowledgeable, you're asking to show you the way, and is the way, the truth, and the life. So it's perfectly legit that. We've got all authority to do that and to actually ask it. And then, of course, when we've done all those things and we are walking wisely, we're the ones who will shine like the stars in heaven, in Daniel, it says. We'll do exploits for him because we'll know him. So again, all that boils down to what I said, where it says, what must I do to do the works of God? Believe, trust, commit, and you'll know, and eventually that truth will set you free, and that we'll know. He has chosen to impart authority to his faithful servants to go forth in power to expand the kingdom of God. I believe that's what he wants to do. That he wants to impart authority to his faithful servants to go forth in power to expand the kingdom of God. And I believe that's what he wants from this church. I believe that he wants to expand his kingdom through you, through me, through a body that is fit for purpose, where is the head, where we're all doing our bit. And I think that's always been his plan. And I think it's even more important that we kind of stick to that plan now, because we can see that such chaos and confusion generally around us. And we could say that although lots of people are well-meaning in churches, are we actually listening to the head? Are we actually really listening to what he's saying and doing it, or are we just playing churches? See, I know some people who went preaching, won't give up the position of preaching in a church. They'd rather preach in a church that's supporting gay pride, than come out of it, because if they come out of it, they'll know where to preach. So they prefer preaching to just being obedient to what God wants. He might not want them preaching. He might not want me preaching. What I'm saying is, whatever leadership is in that church, there's no point in because it's not about that. It's like I said earlier on, that ruffle of my hair did more than 50,000 preachers. That scone with that little old lady who took me in the Sunday school did more for me, because she was praying for me. I were in a war book, like David's war book. And what you'll get your reward for that. You'll have done your task in that. When the commandos went in on that beach in D-Day, there were all these other people behind. If they had to come with the ships and all the rest of it, they wouldn't have been there. Yeah, there might have been some commandos up front, but they got wiped out straight away anyway. The ones who were talking today aren't the ones who went first. They went. They went in the first 5 minutes. And you know, we've got to be in a position, and we're talking to Andrew about this earlier on, where we've got to be willing to say whether I live or die, like Paul. Now, I'm not at that position yet. I'm not mature enough in my faith yet. Some of you probably are.
you that have been going on with God a lot longer and been more faithful probably are in a position where you can say, whether I live or die, it's Christ from now on. I'm not playing any more games. We're going to see this kingdom in this area built. I want to get to that place. I can't honestly say I'm at that place. But God only knows how long that will take. But he's maturing everybody because he wants a mature body of believers. He don't want us to be immature forever and ever wearing nappies when we get to heaven. He wants us to be men and women of God functioning as a body. And I've probably said so much and I'm not even sure quite some of the things I've said, and there's a lot of other things here, but it's a wake-up call for me from when I read that, redeem the time. Sort yourself out, redeem the time. He didn't say sort myself out, but he said, redeem the time, because, and how long do we know? We don't know he's coming back. But we want to be found doing, being a faithful servant when he comes back. Whatever that entails, and like I said, that's not just all these marvellous things. By the way, I do believe there'll be signs and wonders following the preaching of the word. And I do believe that the church has got to enter into that period. And I know there were a prophecy this afternoon in prayer meeting where, yeah, I believe God is going to break through some of this darkness. And, you know, he did that in Welsh Revival as well. He broke through that darkness. There were men begging forgiveness on street corners, weren't they? And coming into church and being touched by a song. And God, but that's sovereign God's timing. You know, if there's another wave like that, an opportune time, which I believe is coming, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be a church that missed the Welsh Revival if I were in the Welsh Revival village. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to miss it. So, we have a choice, haven't we? The choice is ours, because he never forces anybody to get on board. But I do believe that he wants us all to ride that opportune time that he's giving us to make a difference to people's lives out there for his glory. And ultimately, we're happiest doing that. You're happiest when you're living right and you're doing that. You're happiest. You are more peaceful. You're more contented. Yeah, you get more steak. Let's make no moat about it. You get more stick. I used to be one of these, play dead. I'll roll over and play dead a bit, and they might get off my back a bit. But do you know what? After him being on my back 50-odd years, I've just about had enough for it. I've just had enough for it. And I think this church has probably had enough. I think you might have visited him, and you've just about had enough for it. Well, it's time to turn the tables. Let's go back to our authority that we've got in him. And let's remember that in actual fact, he's given us all authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and they'll by no means hurt us. Oh, he'll do his best to pull and to hold us back, really. And then finally, John 14, verse 2, it says, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And he's gone to the Father so that you get the Holy Spirit, that I get the Holy Spirit, the power of God working in our lives to bring that we need to be able to be witnesses for Christ in this age. I think I'm going to leave it at that. He's promised, he says, you will receive power, won't you? Yeah. To fill the Lord's work on earth. Yeah. And that's exactly where we need to be as a church, filled with his power, filled living right, yeah. Sanctified, holy, filled with his power, unified as a body, yeah. Going forward, not leaving anybody behind, looking after the ones who have been attacked, because he's going to attack us and try and pick us off, just like the Amalekites. And so we need prayer warriors behind the scenes. We need people praying. And we need to pray that all these seats are going to be filled and that God's going to do a mighty work in this place. when others might say, well, it were impossible. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. I'll just pray. Father, thank you, Father, for these brief words. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the Lord of time. Time is in your hands. You're the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, we pray, Father, that we would be faithful and that these wouldn't just be words, Lord, but you'd impart your blessing and your spiritual life into all our lives, that you'd renew us, that you'd refashion us, remold us, repurpose us, Lord, to be able to carry out your plans so that we give you the glory, because you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that you're coming again, and we want to be ready for your appearing, Lord. We want to be able to lift up our eyes and praise you when you come back, Lord Jesus, and to be filled with your goodness and filled with your power and your love, and see lives transformed, and from the clutches of the enemy who seeks to destroy and to kill. Father, we pray right now that you'd just revive us by your Holy Spirit. We ask this for your name's sake. Amen.